there was a sharp, heavy silence. Murphy actually stopped breathing. My heart rate sped up a little. I wanted to curse my mouth for being stupid, but why the hell not? Bad timing is for people who have time. She swallowed, and I could see her forcing herself to speak casually.
I suppose you exercise. It would make things simpler.
Simple, I said. That's me. Her hand went to her hair, and she forced it back down.
I want to...
She took a breath.
I'll pick you up in an hour?
Sure, I said. She stood up, her cheeks pink. Hell's bells, it was an adorable look on her.
An hour, then, she said.
Before she could leave, I caught her hand. Her hands were small and strong and just a little rough. She had bandages over a couple of burst blisters the sword had worn on her during half an hour or so of hard work. I bent over it and kissed the back of her fingers, one for each. I let her go reluctantly and said, my stomach muscles twitching with butterflies, an hour. She left, and I saw her walking very quickly toward her car. Her ragged ponytail bobbed left and right with her steps. The only thing certain in life is change. Most of my changes lately hadn't been good ones. Maybe this one wouldn't be good either, but it didn't have that feel to it. I took 40 minutes shaving and putting on my nicest clothes, which amounted to jeans and a t-shirt and my old fleece-lined denim jacket. I didn't have any cologne, so the deodorant and soap would have to do. I didn't allow myself to think about what was going on. In a dream, if you ever start realizing it's a dream, poof, it's gone. And I didn't want that to happen. After that, I spent a few minutes just breathing, listening to the water around me, the ticking of the clock, the peaceful silence, drinking in the comforting sense of solitude all around me. Then I said out loud, "Screw this Zen crap, maybe she'll be early." And I got up to leave. I came out of the cabin and into the early afternoon sun, quivering with pleasant tension and tired and haunted and hopeful. I shielded my eyes against the sun and studied the city's skyline. My foot slipped a little, and I nearly lost my balance, just as something smacked into the wall of the cabin behind me, a sharp popping sound, like a rock thrown against a wooden fence. I turned, and it felt slow for some reason. I looked at the water beetle's cabin wall, bulkhead, whatever, behind me and thought, who splattered red paint on my boat? And then my left leg started to fold all by itself. I looked down at a hole in my shirt just to the left of my sternum. I thought, why did I pick the shirt with a bullet hole in it? Then I fell off the back of the boat and into the icy water of Lake Michigan. It hurt. But only for a second. After that, my whole body felt deliciously warm, monstrously tired, and the sleep that had evaded me seemed, finally, to be within reach. It got dark. It got quiet. And I realized that I was all by myself.
"Die alone,"
whispered a bitter, hateful old man's voice.
"Hush now,"
whispered a woman's voice. It sounded familiar. I never moved, but I saw a light ahead of me. With the light, I saw that I was moving down a tunnel directly toward it, or maybe it was moving toward me. The light looked like something warm and wonderful, and I began to move toward it. Right up until I heard a sound. Typical, I thought. Even when you're dead, it doesn't get any easier. The light rushed closer, and I distinctly heard the horn and the engine of an oncoming train. This is James Marsters. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Changes by Jim Butcher. This program was executive produced by Patty Peruse, produced by David Rapkin, and directed by Bob Walter. Changes is a production of Penguin Audio, a member of Penguin Group USA, Incorporated, copyright 2010, all rights reserved. The book, Changes, is available wherever rock books are sold.